So the text this morning is Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 through 6. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning you sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Amen. That is God's holy word. The grass of the field withers and the flower fades, but this, the word of our God, abides forever. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom. Just like the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms, this book is a book of wisdom. And therefore, we know from the Bible that this book is given to us by Christ Jesus himself, and this book is about Christ Jesus himself, and this book also takes us to the very wisdom of God. It actually says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11, it says that this is given to us by Christ. Notice there in verse 11, the words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. And who is the shepherd of the church? Who is our great shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ. So as Christ gave to us the book of Proverbs, being the very wisdom of God, so Christ gave to us Ecclesiastes, the very wisdom of God. He is our shepherd. And he takes us to his life throughout these amazing chapters of Ecclesiastes. We are constantly brought to the life of Christ, to the way of Jesus. We know that Jesus lived out the life that is for us in Ecclesiastes. I mean, our incarnate Lord, as a young boy, as a teenager, as a young man, he lived out Ecclesiastes 12:13. The end of the matter is this: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And our Lord Jesus, in his humanity, the incarnate one, the two distinct natures in one person forever, he feared God and he kept his commandments for our salvation. So we thank the Lord, our great shepherd, for giving us this book. And in this book, our great shepherd teaches us. He teaches us his wisdom. He teaches us to live by Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here's the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. But our Jesus also teaches us our text. And so we come to chapter number 11, verses 1 through 6. Cast your bread upon the waters, and you will find it after many days. Now, what is the message in these six verses that we read? Well, it is this. Go ahead. Cast your bread on the water. Take the risk. Live by faith in God, giving generously to the people around you. Take the risk and give and spend your life for Christ and for others. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and being boldly generous and copiously good to our neighbors is a basic part of wise, godly living. Yes, it's risky to follow Jesus Christ and to forgive and love people, but it is truly human. You know, the forever cautious the forever burying gold coins in the ground so as not to lose anything. People are anxious and selfish people. Perhaps you have heard of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. She was a risk taker. She was entrepreneurial. She saw possibilities in property, in the crop, in her husband. She saw possibilities in her children. And she didn't let the fear of winter or the fear of too many children or her husband's bad habits stop her from giving generously. And she did it all because, as we know from Proverbs 31, that she feared the Lord God. She lived by faith in the awe of God, and this caused her to see possibilities all around her. And it's the same way in our lives. When we fear God, when we stand in awe of the wonder of Jesus, the glory of the Holy Spirit, the majesty of our Heavenly Father, we see possibilities in life. We're hopeful in life. We're not despondent about our life. We're glad to be alive and glad for our families and glad for our marriages and glad for our church and so on. And so this Proverbs 31 woman, she cast her bread on the water. She took risks and she was a blessing. She lived out Ecclesiastes 11. So let's look at it this morning. As we look at this wisdom, we see three things. First, we need to take the risk of serving others. Secondly, this passage teaches us to take the risk of serving others generously. And then thirdly, this passage teaches us that we, as God's people, in the wisdom of the Lord, we are to take the risk of serving others generously today. Right now. Well, let's begin with the first point that our Lord Jesus teaches us here. To take the risk of serving others. Notice the imagery in verse 1. It's casting your bread on the water. Because that seems like a risky thing to do. You throw it out there and it will get waterlogged and it'll go down and you'll never see it again. Yet the Bible says that you will find it after many days. Not that you get it back literally. He's not talking about literal bread here. Rather, it's a call to be bold. That's the idea. It's a call to take risks. Now, notice the illustration in verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if the tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. Verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. You see, when it rains, the rain falls on the earth, and a tree lies where it falls, and where the wind comes, it comes the way it comes. Because they follow God's laws and God's times. Throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, this constantly comes up. The wind comes from where it comes from by the decree of God. The tree falls the way it falls by the decree of God. The rain falls the way it falls by the decree of God. And you know, we can do nothing about it when it rains. We can do nothing about how or where a tree falls or when the wind blows. The point is simple. Because we don't control nature, in life, you have to take risks. And the farmer understands that, but a roofer understands that as well. Just think about your home. You need a new roof. The clouds are gray. And if it's going to rain again, you're going to have that leak. It's not raining yet, but the clouds are gray. What do I do? Well, I better get going. I better take the risk and reshingle my house. Notice the call to take risks in verse 5 and 6. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, withhold not your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. This time, it is the light of God Almighty that we are to take risks. It's in not only in the light of nature, are we to take risks, but in the light of God Almighty, we are to take risks. Solomon is pointing out that God is in control of life that comes into the womb, and God is in control of our harvest, so we have to go forward by faith. The just shall live by faith. We're not sovereign. God is sovereign. And so we step out of our houses every day by faith. We don't know if we'll die or get into a car accident or all of a sudden we'll have cancer or if it's going to rain and a huge storm is going to cover our houses with lots of rain or hail. We have to live by faith in this world that we live in. You see, God is sovereign and we don't know how He will work. But still, cast your bread on the water and you'll get it back. Be bold. Live by faith. But what risk are we to be bold about? What are we to take risks in? What's the idea here in this passage? What is God saying? Well, the passage makes it plain. Notice verse 2. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8. This sets the meaning of this small paragraph. Because notice the word sow in verse 4a. He who observes the wind will not sow. And then notice again in verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand. So you have the idea of giving a portion in verse 2. You have the idea of sowing in verse 4 and also in verse 6. In other words, what the writer is saying is this, we're to take the risk of serving and giving to others because God will use you in the lives of other people. You know, Solomon, in this book of Ecclesiastes, beckoned us as God's people, as Christians, to do good in chapter 3, verse 12. Here in the book of Ecclesiastes, we are called as Christians to work in chapter 3, verse 22, and chapter 5, verse 18, and chapter 8, verse 15. And we are also called throughout this book to please God. So we are called consistently to do good, to work diligently with our hands, and to please God in living a life of faith before Him. Well, this is what it looks like. This is one of the ways that we express our living wisdom, our living and working hard and doing good and pleasing God. It's living generously for other people. And here, the Lord Jesus in His wisdom says to us, take risk. Do it by faith, in other words. If you spend too much time trying to figure out if all the conditions are right, you will, like the worried farmer who does not plant because he doesn't know the weather, probably keep back your friendship. You'll keep back love. You'll not share your life. You see, God gave us life and love, and God gave us hands, and God gave us work, and He gave us our lot in life. And none of us can change our lot in life. We can't, taking thought to ourselves, add one inch to our height or add one hair to our head. God is the one who's given us our life. And what has He given to us? Well, life and love and hands and work. And also, in the midst of all of these gifts, we don't know all of God's will for our lives. And yet, He calls us to live our lives before Him. So waiting for the time when everything will be predictable, when everything will be risk-free, when everything will be affordable before I give my life or before I do good for others, well, then I'll never do good. I'll never take my life and use it for others and use it for the Lord. But you see, God is sovereign. He is sovereign. We are not. We don't know how He will work, but still we take the risk. We sow the seed. We go to work for our families, men. We love our spouse, wives, and we love our spouse, men. We have children. We spend time with our children. We sit down and we talk with our teens. We talk with others in our church. We talk with people who are depressed. We talk with people who are sad. We talk with people who have just lost a loved one. Perhaps we adopt children. And children, perhaps you take the risk of sharing your ball with another child. Or you take the risk of saying hi to a new person in church or a new friend in the yard. In other words, we take the risk and we serve and we give to others. No, we don't know how it will turn out because we don't decide that. We don't know God's will from beginning to end. That's His mystery, but we know that He loves us and He's given us these gifts, so we take the risk. We love. Now, the question is, why does God put it like this here in this passage? Well, first of all, in His grace, God confronts us where we are in our sin. Generally, we think preferring others before ourselves is a losing game. Paul put it plainly, sinners are people who live for themselves. And you know what I'm talking about, even children. You know how easy it is for you to be selfish. You see, in our sinful nature, we desire, we connive, we strategize, we rationalize, we jockey life so we can come out on top. So to give generously to others is often seen as a very risky business. Of course, godly wisdom practices stewardship and counts costs, but we all know tight-fistedness, and we all know self-justifications that we've made for not helping other people, or not having children, or not sharing the ball, or not staying with the marriage. We say, well, I can't. And then we give our excuse. Or, I'm not ready. Or, he is. Or, she is. Or, I don't have enough money. It is risky to love. It is risky to give. Yes, it is. And we in our sinful nature find it so difficult. Aren't we glad for that passage which our brother read earlier? God loves a cheerful giver. But why does God put it like this? Not only in His grace to confront us where we are in our sin, but secondly, in grace, God reveals Himself here. God in Jesus cast His bread on the water even before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created in the eternal covenant of redemption. The Lord God knew that mankind would fall. He decreed to permit the fall, and He decreed that He would love all of His elect. He would pour out His grace upon them to save them from their sins so that people like you and me would not only know God as our Creator, but also know Him as our Redeemer. You see, in Jesus, we see that the true God took the risk of living for others because Jesus is the very bread of life. He is the very bread from heaven. He is greater than the manna. He is bread from God. And after Jesus was grown and baptized, He went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He was a sower who sowed the word of God, preaching the gospel everywhere, giving Himself to people and giving Himself to children and giving Himself to souls. He went sowing the word of God. But of course, He knew that not all the seed would fall on good ground, but He sowed anyway. God Almighty is not like that foolish servant in the parable of the talents who wouldn't risk losing his master's money. No, God in Christ boldly, diligently worked for God's kingdom and has brought back huge profits Oh yes, he found the bread. He gathered it after his great work. You see, God gave to Israel again and again by way of promise, by way of covenant, even though he knew that they would reject him, even though he knew that he would have to send them to the Assyrians and then send them later on to the Babylonians. But he kept on giving. And imagine, God gave to them himself. Finally, God gave to Israel himself, for in this backward, small, disobedient people, a virgin conceived and bore a son, and they called his name Emmanuel. All for our sins. For at the right time, Christ risked coming into Jerusalem. The disciples didn't want him to go. They even said, "Jesus, they're against you. Don't you know that you will be hurt?" But he set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem. Of course, Jesus at this time also risked overthrowing the temple or overthrowing the tables in the temple. That provoked the religious leaders. And then he risked, of course, giving his life for his people. Yes, God cast his bread on the waters. He sowed his seed. He did not withhold his hand. I mean, there is our Lord, even there at the Last Supper, dipping the bread into the sop with Judas. And then he said, whatsoever you're doing, go and do quickly. He knew it all. He did not withhold his hand. But there is this, the risks God took and takes in giving is not risk in the sense of chance or uncertainty. That's not what Solomon is talking about in Ecclesiastes, and that's not what I'm saying. For instance, I remember a while ago I took a canoeing trip, and I took the risk of crossing a river that had a strong current. I said, "I'll try it. I'll risk it. See if I can get to the other side." And of course, what happened is the canoe overturned and I ended up getting cold and wet. But you see, when God risks, it's not that he does not know the cost or returned blessing. Four times in these verses that we read, we are told, "You and I don't know how God will work. You and I don't know how God will work." But God knows how he's working. God's risk is always by promise. He guaranteed the risk by his faithful word. He guaranteed the risk of our salvation by his own life. He unchangeably promised the seed of the woman would destroy Satan and save sinners. He promised never to destroy the earth with a flood again, even though man's sins grieved him. He promised through Abraham that all the world through the seed of Abraham would be blessed. He promised David's son would rule the world forever, even though many of David's sons were rebellious. He promised he would provide himself a lamb. And he kept his promise. And it cost him himself. And it cost the Father his son. You remember Philippians chapter number 2? We think of this in light of what we're talking about of our Lord Jesus and how he lived on this earth. It says in Philippians 2, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He gave himself for us to save us, to save all of his people, and he has received a full reward. All who are in Christ have new hearts now. To take new hearts to live by faith, new hearts to take risks like we're told here in Ecclesiastes 11, new hearts to cast our bread upon the water. To count ourselves as nothing, New hearts to count others more significant than ourselves. New hearts where we can take this risk because we are in Christ Jesus, and that God will use us in the lives of others in amazing ways. Look at how God used and uses Himself in our lives today, in your life and in mine. Well, that brings me to the second point, that we're to take the risk of serving others generously. Generous giving is what he means in verse 2. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8. We don't stop giving to 7. We go on to giving to 8. He means give to the utmost, be a giver of generosity to others. But also notice that the verse says, for you don't know when a disaster may happen. Why are these two things connected here? Well, it means that we are to give to people, that we're to be generous to people, that we're to share our life with people, even when there's not a need. We know that when a house fire occurs or disaster happens, there's a need, and we go and we meet that need, and that's wonderful. But you know, we should meet needs even before disaster strikes. We should be that generous. Crises may come, but you don't need to have a crisis before you can share your life with one another in this congregation and with your neighbor and with the people around us. We are told of the Lord Jesus in Psalm 112 that He distributes freely and gives to the poor. And He does this all the time and in many ways. And our Lord Jesus doesn't do it just to 7 or just to 8 or just to 9. But our Lord Jesus does it to millions upon millions upon millions of people. And our Lord Jesus does not give according to good works or give according to merit or give according to status. He gives to the poor, He gives to the blind, He gives to the rich, He gives generously. He gave and He still gives, of course, in this way, in the greatest disaster on earth. And in one sense, though we don't maybe have a physical crisis, we know that there's a crisis in our earth. It's sin. It's man's fallenness. It's man's deplorable sinfulness. And in this crisis of sinfulness, our Lord still gives Himself through this church to this community, through our church in Chatham, through all the RPCNA churches in North America and all over the world. And what a disaster we are. Maybe we would die for a noble person or for a noble cause, but none of us would take the risk of dying for Adolf Hitler. But while we were wretched sinners, Christ died for us. God in Christ did not hold on to His wealth and forget about us. No, He became poor so that we, through His poverty, might become rich. He, God, lived out. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He gave generously for you and me. And look, he found his investment. He got his bread back, as I said earlier. His people and his world are saved, and they will be saved. All the elect that are yet to come to Christ will come to Christ. And this earth will come yet be in renewal. There will be the new heavens and the new earth, because our Lord Jesus has purchased our bodies and has also redeemed this earth. And the earth now is simply groaning, waiting to the full redemption of the sons of God. We think of Proverbs 22:9. Proverbs 22:9 gives us this amazing verse. There we read this passage. Proverbs 22:9 says, "Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor." Isn't that the life of our Lord? Isn't that Christ? He shared his life with the poor. We think of Proverbs 19 and verse 17. There we read, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." This is true of our Lord Jesus Christ too. Actually, our Lord Jesus is so repaid in full by God the Father that we are given to Christ. We are his reward. We are the new creations in Christ. So by the Holy Spirit of Christ, which we have now received in the gospel, we are taught to be generous like Jesus. Yes, we don't know how our giving will come back to us. We don't know how life comes into the baby in the womb, as we read in our text. Nevertheless, we should be open-handed, for we are in Christ. We cannot imagine a stingy Jesus. We cannot imagine that if Jesus came here, that he would not visit your home. In the midst of all of your problems, in the midst of all of your difficulties, you cannot think of Christ saying, oh, too many problems in the Barch home, can't visit there. No. You know he would come, and he'd be loving. He'd smile, and he'd be so gracious to us. See, as God caused his work in Christ to prosper, so he will prosper our giving when we do it in Christ. Yes, again, I say, as Ecclesiastes says over and over again, we don't know for sure how our marriage will turn out. We don't know for sure how our kids will turn out, or how our giving here and our giving there will turn out. We don't know how Russell RP Church will turn out in the end. But this ignorance should not reduce us to unimportance. This ignorance should not cause us to say, oh, I'm unimportant as a husband, or I'm unimportant as a wife. Oh, I don't know what will happen, so I might as well not share myself with my wife, or share myself with my kids, or come here to church. No. You live by faith in the promises of God. Every Sunday morning and Sunday evening, you cast your bread on the water when you come here. And you submit yourself to the wisdom of the Lord and his sovereign way. What does our Lord say? I think of it now. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." You know, we give of our tithes and of our offerings, and we give of our lives. We don't know how it's all going to turn out, but we know a harvest will come because God promised it. You see, the heart of the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of God is in our hearts. And you know, by the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, we are moved by God's love in so many ways. In the Spirit's power, we are moved to so bountifully. We're moved to give. And many times we grieve that Holy Spirit. Think of this, husbands. Think of this. If you loved your wife as Christ loved the church, if you just yielded yourself to the Holy Spirit and said, you know, no matter what she does, I'm going to love her self-sacrificially. Or women, if you love your husbands, you know, no matter what he does, I'm going to reverence him as the church is to reverence Christ. And you sow your seed and just imagine what would happen. It's all in faith. But you will reap a reward. The Spirit is leading you to do that, to follow the Bible. I just want to call upon you, yield to the Holy Spirit. Give yourself to the Word of God. Take the risk. Oh, I know your sinfulness is struggling with, well, I'm not sure, I'm not this, I don't know. No, just forget about your flesh and follow God's Word. What does the Bible promise? Our brother, the elder, read it. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you, Jesus taught us. How does God give? Well, God gives generously. And how is it measured back to Him? It's measured back to Him generously. And think of this, it's true. You are part of God's treasure. You are something that the Lord won for Himself, redeeming your soul and body. You're a crown in His jewel. And one day, if you're a Christian, He'll take you to heaven and into the new heavens and the new earth, and you will praise God forever, and the Lord will be glorified by your life. Well, a treasure that is taught to give generously like the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit is alive today. We are alive today. So that brings me to my last and closing point. Take the risk of serving others generously today. This is the idea of verse 6 in our text. Notice again verse 6. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Think of the risks farmers have to take to plant. They could take the seed and sell it or use it for food themselves and their families, but then they would have no crop. Instead, a wise farmer sows in the morning and a wise farmer sows at night. And they sow by faith because they don't know how much rain or how much sun or disease or blight will happen. The farmer does not know how he will prosper, but he sows today. We could hoard our money. We could hoard our time. We could make sure we always, always have enough. But then we wouldn't give generously. The scripture says that we're to give generously today. You know, we could go without me time. We could go without money. We could go without comfort today, and you'll be a blessing to someone in this church today and a blessing to their family tomorrow, perhaps. Take the risk. Live by faith. You see, when we fear God, when we have wisdom, when we hold Him in awe and believe in His Word, we realize that we can give today. Not because we know how it will turn out, but because of who God is. He will use it His way. God will supply our every need. God is all sufficient, so we can be giving as we live under the ever-giving God. So we can give generously today precisely because we can trust God to bring the bread back to us. As Meyer put it, we are supplied by His abundance. It all comes down to faith. We can be extravagant in our generosity today because God is faithful and abundantly generous today. And of course, again, we see this in our Jesus Christ. He sowed every day of His earthly life. Can you imagine women being a mother to the Lord Jesus? He would have given Himself to His mother every day. Can you imagine men having a teenager work in your shop like the Lord Jesus? He would have given Himself to Joseph every day. He honored his father and loved his dad. And of course, we know in the Gospels how He gave Himself to all those people. You know, there were times that He could not even get apart and pray. Times He was so wearied. You know, His family looked at Him one time in the Gospel of Mark And they looked and saw how busy he was. Didn't even have time to eat. And the brother said, "What? This is really bizarre. Why? We've got to rescue the Lord Jesus." So they wanted to go into the house and take him because he was overworking himself and giving himself to others. You see, it's our Lord who taught us today is the day of salvation. And it's our Lord who said, "I'm your shepherd. I will supply all your want." Do you ever wonder why the disciples risked so much to follow Jesus? I mean, they forsook all and they followed him. If you read the book of Acts, you can see that they were like the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, a blessing to the whole world. We know that the woman in Proverbs 31 was a blessing to her husband, a blessing to her children, and also a blessing to that town. But our Lord and his disciples, they were a blessing to men and women and families and nations, and now even they're a blessing to us. Well, they followed Jesus because of Jesus. He cast his bread on the water. He came to this earth to save sinners. He came to this earth. What does the scripture say? Not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave himself as the bread of life, and he has redeemed us. And so let us give ourselves as bread to others in the name of Jesus. And take the risk. Do it by faith. Don't become cynical. Don't become hopeless at all of the wickedness and sin in our nation that we have. Don't become bitter that Canada now is a pagan nation and we've lost Christendom and we've lost morality and the love of the Word. No, God has allowed it for a reason. So now let us still live by faith and love the people that we work with, love our church, love our families. Let's cast our bread on the water. But you say, "Pastor Bart, I did that once and the people took my money and ran." Okay, sure, that happens. But who knows what God will do with that? Maybe that person who took his money and ran, took your money and ran, will be saved 20 years down the road because they remember your kindness. We don't know. But we do know God's revealed will. So again, I say in closing, dear friends, yield to the Holy Spirit. Take the scriptures and live by faith here. And God will give you a harvest His way.